Shalom, this is Billy Brim, and welcome back this week for us going on in our book study of the book of Revelation, and we're already over to chapter 5. And if you haven't been with us, you can go on billybrim.org, billybrim.org, and there you can go back in June when we began our study of the book of Revelation, and you can listen and you can catch up. Now, we are at chapter 5. We are in heaven. Chapters 4 and 5 take place in heaven, and they are future things. In chapter 119, Jesus told John to write of the things that he had seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter, past, present, and future. So we're going to rightly divide, and we're going to see where we are, and in this chapter, it's in heaven, and we're going to determine who it's talking about. Now, Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book, actually a scroll, written within and on the backside, and sealed with seven seals. Now, I used to think that this scroll had like seven seals, you know, and they were just all in a row up and down. But no, they are in the first seal, then you unwrap it, and then you come to the second seal, and then you unwrap it, and then they're layers. Layers are sealed, and one after the other, they are opened. We find that Jesus, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I, John, he didn't say John here, but he says, and I, and it is John, the beloved. I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. Now he's weeping because we're going to move here now into everything that God created, he brings to perfection. He brings earth to perfection. He's bringing you to perfection, if you'll let him. And in his bringing earth to perfection, it's going to have to know some judgment. And if it doesn't, if earth didn't know judgment during Noah's flood, you and I wouldn't be here today. It would have just, there was only one man in his family that had knowledge of God. So we'll come to the point here, and we're coming to the point in time. The fullness of time has come, you might say, when earth has to know judgment. And so John's weeping. I think the reason that he's weeping is because if it doesn't know judgment, it's just going to go on to destruct it. God is not going to destroy the earth. We're not coming to the end of the world, and there's not going to be destruction of earth. God is not going to destroy the earth, but he is going to destroy those who would destroy the earth if they were not captured, corralled, apprehended. And so that's what we're coming to. And I believe that the reason John is weeping, that he knows this has to happen. And there's no human that's worthy, neither in heaven nor anywhere. And one of the elders, verse 5, said unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." Here we find Jesus called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And remember, we studied at the end of last week that the seven-year period that we're going to enter into right now is Daniel's 70th week, when God said he would bring Israel into, he'll deal with them again and bring them into the fullness of their purpose. So he's called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Verse 6, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four," actually King James says beasts, but it's living creatures, living beings, certainly not beasts. We looked at them earlier, these wondrous living creatures who worship and praise God with eyes all around. "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain." Now, this isn't an animal. This is Jesus. and he's standing. He's always depicted as sitting at the right hand of God. Remember, the book of Ephesians says that he was raised and seated at the right hand of God. And throughout the New Testament, we're told that that's where he is. But now he's standing. He has returned from receiving his body into heaven. He will now bring to completion his role as kinsman redeemer, even of our bodies and of the earth. And from this point here, action is upon the earth. The action that we're going to read from here on, this is in heaven, but he's going to open the seals to action on the earth. Satan's lease has neared its end. It's almost up. That's what he's waiting for. He had given Adam a six-day work week. It was usurped, the authority on the earth, by Satan. Jesus restored it to us, the church, and we've been walking in it partially. But now Satan's lease is at the end. And this is what Clarence Larkin writes in the book of Revelation, his book. When the Lamb leaves the throne to take the book, his mediatorial work ceases and his redemptive work, the completion of it, begins. When our kinsman redeemer is handed the book, the title deed to the purchased possession, he has the right to break the seals and claim the inheritance and dispossess the present claimant, Satan. This he will immediately proceed to do as he breaks the seals. Satan is not evicted at once. He contests the claim and, after conflict, is finally dispossessed and cast into the lake of fire. We said when we began this series that Satan has frightened off people from reading the book of Revelation, when Jesus has promised us we get a blessing just to read it. And the reason he has is because it tells he's going to the pit and then he's going to the lake of fire. Praise the Lord. This is not the revelation of the Antichrist. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we remember from our study that in the 50th year, the year of Jubilee, everything goes back to its original possessor. So in the real Jubilee, the only real Jubilee and the fullness of the Jubilee is when Jesus sets up his kingdom on earth, and earth will go back to its original possessor. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, he's called. We must not merge Israel and the church or forget the purposes of God as to earth, in higher and confuse it with his purposes of the higher and heavenly ones. To understand the book of Revelation, you must understand that he has regard and it deals with Israel, his people, and to the new heavens and the new earth, and it gives us the mind of God concerning these things. We have come now to the seven sealed scroll. The layers, as we said, are sealed one after the other. And they begin to tell us of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Remember, apocalypse, calypso, or calypso means veiled or covered, and apo means take from cover. And that is Revelation. Apocalypse is the Greek word that's translated into English Revelation. So you often find these horsemen called the four horsemen of the apocalypse. These four horsemen ride throughout the tribulation period. We're going to have seven seals here in this book. It's going to cover the whole period of Revelation, the whole period of Daniel's 70th week. We see it divided into two parts. The first four seals are four horsemen, and then it changes and we have three more seals, but we'll talk about those when we get to them. Revelation 6, verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying, as with a voice of thunder, come. Now, this is the first of the four living creatures. It doesn't tell us which one, but we know it's the first one. In the King James, it says, come and see. You can cross out and see. It's not there. In the Greek original, it's simply come. This living creature who's around the throne of God is not asking John to come and see. He's telling the horse, you can come now, and its rider. The order is given to the rider, come. There is no and see in the originals. Who gives the command? The first living creature, perhaps the lion, speaking as the government of God calls forth the first rider. This rider can't come forth until God says so. Who is the rider? He's on a white horse. Verse 2, Revelation 6, 2, and I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat thereon had a bow. And there was given unto him a crown, and he came forth conquering and to conquer. Strange, he has a bow, but no arrow. Many have thought that this writer is the Christ, the Messiah, but he is not. He is not the Messiah. Messiah, Christ, is holding the seven seal book. He's opened the seal. He's already conquered Satan's kingdom and made a show of them openly in Colossians 2:15. Jesus is always depicted as having a two-edged sword, not a bow, much less a bow without an arrow. This rider on the white horse is the Antichrist. He is the prince who is to come. He comes forth to conquer. Jesus has already conquered. The white horse here is not the symbol of purity, but of victorious warfare. The white horse is a war horse. It's a symbol of a war horse. The Antichrist goes forth to conquer and establish his government, to acquire a place. He has no crown, but one is given him during this seven-year period. He comes into a place of authority and rule. Larkin writes, the rider is not crowned at first, but a Stephanos. We get our name Stephen from that. Or victor's crown will be given him as a reward for his victories. The picture is of a brilliant, strategical, and somewhat irresistible conqueror whose victories will dazzle the world and elevate him into leadership. He is probably, this is Billy Brim saying this, he is probably the leader of the federated powers of the Roman Empire revived. Scripture does not tell us the identity of the Antichrist. It tells us that identity will not be revealed until that which hinders him is taken out of the way. The force that hinders the Antichrist coming forth now is the body of Christ. Hilton Sutton writes in the book of Revelation, his book, The Book of Revelation Revealed, although the Bible hides the Antichrist's personal identity, it reveals other things about him. We know his nature, his characteristics, and the source of his power and authority. Folks, we're going to come back tomorrow and take this up. So you be with us as we look into the book of Revelation, and maybe you want to be reading chapter 6, actually. We're to chapter 6 now, and the seven seals being opened. We will get right back with this tomorrow when we welcome you here to the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. Don't forget, you can go on billybrim.org and catch up with us on our radio archives. They begin in June, and it is clearly marked where the beginning is, and you can follow along there. Let us know that you're listening. I'd like to know if you can send us an offering. That'd be great for the radio ministry. Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615. This is Billy Brim saying, Shalom, shalom, until tomorrow.